all the overnight dancers, all the graveyard shift workers. By the way, do they get paid a lot during the holiday season? I wonder how the holidays are for them. You know, another thing, too, like tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's like when everybody reconvenes from high school or whatnot.
Yeah, so
do people
like
still
when
do
you're
that? What's the age limit?
When you're in your early 20s, that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, one of the greatest drinking nights of the year.
Yeah, it's a big drinking night.
Like in terms of like, oh my God,
well, when does that
doing?
Stop? When does that, when you have kids or
to me, it's like
families?
Mid to late 20s, all depending right. on where you are in your life.
Nobody's doing
now,
it
for
tomorrow?
My boy Shimanak, who's out there, I'm sure Shimmy's getting after it all week. Yeah,
Shimanak. Who's Shimanak?
Oh, Shimanak. He's just a friend. He's crazy.
Friend Shimanak?
Yeah, he's out of his mind. He's the guy who brings his dog to the bar. He's that guy.
Gotcha.
He knows everyone's name.
Well, the
where
dogs.
Everybody
but
knows.
You know what? Shimanak, this is actually a good strategy. Ladies love dogs. So if you're single and you bring a dog into a bar, there's a lot of ladies who are going to pet that dog.
Look, I will give
it
him this.
It is a conversation starter.
Shimmy's got Riz. I'll give it to him.
What's Riz?
Charisma.
Oh, okay.
A little annoying at times. He knows I love him, but God, I give it to him.
Look, you bring your dog into the bar, that's got to win you some brownie points. Ladies love dogs, right? We love dogs.
So what was your watering hole immediately after high school where everyone would congregate?
We went everywhere. I mean, I don't know.
Philly, Shannon Arms, Dubliner.
No.
Costello's Four Deuces.
I'm not Irish.
You don't have to be Irish to go there. Plenty of Italians.
No, we've got all over the place, man. So many different spots. I can't remember whether it was a
there's
marina.
The Joe Horn. There's so many of them.
There's
I
so
can't
many,
even
yeah, every year was something different. 650. It's all about smoking trees Wednesday night and wake and bake Thursday. I know what you're going to be doing. Well, I got a Warriors game Wednesday night. They play in OKC. I should have took that day off. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Ass backwards. But that'd be a lot of fun. I think it would be so late. I'm probably going to go home and just go
You should
straight.
Go to LaRocca's Corner. That's where you should go.
Well, I miss Roddy. I do miss Roddy and the crew up there.
I just saw him on Friday.
You saw Roddy on Friday?
Uh-huh.
How's he doing?
At the Reardon alumni thing.
He's just like a hard guy, isn't he?
Yeah, but you know, us city boys, we rolled
in. What the hell is he doing at a Reardon function?
Because he was paying homage to the Great Purple.
He's just bored?
Yeah.
How's Roddy doing?
He's doing great.
Did he ask about me?
No, he didn't bring you
up. Oh, man. Wow. Damn, I'm pulling a Shasky. Damn it.
It was pouring cats and dogs.
Where's it at?
The Italian Athletic Club?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right there near.
Was Big Dino up there?
I didn't see him. I was.
Who's the celebrity? Because last year
it was me.
It was you.
Yeah, which means the bar is very low.
So they went from Gary St. Jean,
Mully,
Chris Mullin, to Joe Shasky.
Yeah, but it was a city affair.
That's not bad. Actually.
I interviewed all the coaches. It was a good time.
There you go.
If you could interview Kyle Shanahan right now, what would be the hardest pill for him to swallow for this season?
Ooh.
Like, if he had to be truthful, and you said, Kyle, like, what's the thing that you've had the most difficult time coming to grips with? And I already know what it is for me.
I think for him, it'd be the IU situation.
Interesting that you went that one. Okay, why?
Yeah, I went IU because it set a bad tone to the season. And I'm not blaming IU, and I'm not blaming the organization. I'm just blaming the situation. And the fact that that situation lingered as long as it did, and we went back and forth with Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Buffalo and New England and then Pittsburgh again. And I'm like, oh, boy. And you knew how the season was going to start for Brandon Ayuk. You knew he wasn't going to be up to speed. We had experience with Bosa with that. Now, again, it doesn't – I don't look at the player and look at Brandon Ayuk and say, man, he was wrong for this in terms of getting his money because I understand why he wouldn't play on a $14 million. I know it's a lot of money, and it's money I'll probably never see in my life, but in terms of your career, in terms of what he does, in terms of what the market was and how it exploded, I understand where Brandon Ayuk was coming from. I just don't think it was handled greatly, and it set a bad tone for the season. Just wish that they made the move either at the deadline to either trade Brandon Ayuk or Debo, or not draft a wide receiver. So when you draft a wide receiver, complicated everything, and then all of a sudden you get to camp and Pearsall's not playing, but you don't have Brandon Ayuk there. And Brandon Ayuk was one of the best players in training camp the last 3 years, which is sparked him having monster seasons for the 49ers, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. So if I was to ask Kyle anything, wow, this is great knowledge. I got to find out who this number is. Bonte, you were at the Lion Pub every weekend. There was a stretch in my mid-20s.
Wow.
Where we were in the Lions Pub every single weekend. I got to find who this number is. Because, so my roommate,
were
Aaron Donahoe.
Were you a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night Lion Club guy?
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because Aaron Donahoe,
Saturday,
my roommate was the bartender.
Oh, well, that changes the whole equation.
Yeah, that changes. So we went there all the time.
Yeah, that changes.
All the time. I got to find out who that number is. But
we got to get you down to the Beacon.
I haven't been out to the Beacon in a while.
Yeah, you got to go down to the Beacon.
But no, I would say the IU situation. I think that set the tone for the season.
That, you know, that's an interesting one. That would not have been one that I would have came to immediately. It would have been something like Super Bowl or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the way you laid it out and kind of the domino effect, I think I'm coming around on that one. I think you're on to something there.
Didn't you get Trent out of nowhere? Trent out of nowhere is like, yeah, I'm staying in East Texas. I can't be the sixth highest paid left tackle.
It's absurd.
I mean, that one just threw us for a curveball. I was like, damn.
How many people did we take phone calls from? You got to get Trent. You got to get Trent.
You do, though.
Like, no, I know you do, but like, in retrospect, the way it went down was pretty weak.
Very weak.
I mean, considering that he's been paid very handsomely throughout his career, it's just like, come on, Trent. I mean, your season's been meh. It hasn't been horrible. It hasn't been great. It's just been meh. You know, and like, but the point about the wide receiver is interesting because I've been thinking about it. I think the biggest misstep for this team, you know, when you play Madden, right? For example, at the end of a season in Madden, and this is the video game I'm talking about, they do this like fake press conference thing. Mm-hmm. This is the new game. And they go,
oh, they got the fake press conference. I haven't gotten to do that.
Okay. And they ask you as the head coach, what are you going to do in the offseason? And it says, no plan at all, make a splash in free agency, or win the draft. Okay, mm-hmm. And you have to kind of pick of those three. And I feel like the Niners were like, we're not sure. Like, off the board, right? They got to the draft, and I don't think they really knew in their heart of hearts whether they were going to execute the pick, trade one of their wide receivers, or what? Like, I don't think they really had a game plan. I think they were fielding calls, and I think they were oscillating between paying Ayuk, not paying Ayuk, trading Debo, not trading Debo, trading Ayuk, moving up in the draft, not moving up. And I think their inability to do anything on draft day has haunted them all year.
No doubt.
I think you've gotten the worst out of Debo, even though he came in great shape. I think you got a poor Ayuk off to the right foot, you know, at the beginning of the year because you didn't pay him, and you didn't have him in camp, and it didn't necessarily help your quarterback. I think that bringing in Pearsall really didn't make a lot of sense considering where he would be on the depth chart as wide receiver 4 at best to start things. Needed that first round pick to contribute this year.
Yeah, and he couldn't stay on the field in the training camp. So when you think about the combine and you're getting over to Super Bowl, you get to the scouting combine, you get to the Senior Bowl, and the Jaguars were heavily rumored. Remember, we had B. O'Brien on from Jacksonville. She does a great job covering the Jaguars. We love B. O'Brien on the show. And they were interested in Brandon Ayuk. And then I happened to be watching NFL Network. And they were at LSU's Pro Day. And who was it? Was it Cameron Wolf? Not the lady. Who's the guy who covers the Florida teams? Maybe Cam. I forget his name.
Someone.
We had him on the pregame show one time. Anyway, he's down there at LSU's Pro Day, and he's sitting next to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., who got selected by the Jaguars, 17 overall. And the reporter goes, I think it was Cameron. Was it Cameron Wolf? It was Cameron Wolf. All right. I'm thinking of Colleen Wolf. That's why. Cameron Wolf.
Both guy. NFL Network.
Yes. Yeah, both NFL Network. Okay. Yeah, I didn't even put that together. But Cameron Wolf, sitting there at LSU Pro Day, he turns over to Brian Thomas Jr. He goes, hey, I was talking to some executives while you're running routes and participating in Pro Day, and these execs are comparing you to Brandon Ayuk. They think you're the next Brandon Ayuk. And I was like, damn, remember I clipped it. I sent it to you guys. Like, man, Jacksonville. So in hindsight, trade Brandon Ayuk to Jacksonville to get the 17th overall pick, maybe selected Brian Thomas Jr. Your books look differently. You have a wide receiver on a rookie contract. Now, I get why the Niners wouldn't move off of Brandon Ayuk. He's coming off a career. He has a great rapport with Brock Purdy. I understand that. It's like, man, you just developed this guy. You're going to flip him for another first-round pick, lose a question mark. But he's an LSU wide receiver, and I think Brian Thomas Jr., he's been the lone bright spot for the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. The guy's a player. But it was interesting that execs were comparing him to Brandon Ayuk. So you knew Jacksonville was involved. You knew Pittsburgh wanted Ayuk. You knew New England would want him. And you mishandled the situation. But not only that, you also have Deebo coming in. And he came into camp on shape. Everybody said how great Deebo was at camp. Now it really hasn't translated here in the tail end of the regular season. But you also put it out there that you're taking calls on Deebo Samuel. And did you take Ricky Pearsall? So automatically, to your point, like, did they really know what they were doing at the draft? I don't know if they did. I don't know if they had, oh, man, let's re-sign. We know we're going to, all of a sudden, the market explodes, too. That's another thing. It's another caveat here where the wide receiver market explodes. Who got paid?
Everyone got paid.
Everybody got paid. And now you wanted to get paid early. So you could have saved yourself maybe $20 million.
Here's the sad thing that is very difficult to swallow. You're bringing up Brian Thomas, okay? We're also going to bring up Ladd McConkey. Now, I'm going to read these stats off to you, and you're going to say, Joe, there's no way in hell. Deebo and Brandon Ayuk this year combined 59 catches, 885 yards, one touchdown. I'll read that again. Wow. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel combined 59 catches, 885 yards, one touchdown. Brian Thomas by himself, 42 catches, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. Ladd McConkey, 50 catches, 700 yards, 4 touchdowns. Look, I was hesitant to pay Brandon Ayuk the amount of money that he was looking for. I think he's a really, really good player. But given what you paid Deebo, and team building and the way you build your team, it just doesn't feel like great juice, great squeeze. You also pay Juwan Jennings, who's outperformed all these guys this year. And then you throw in Ricky Pearsall. So those are the two guys, Brian Thomas, first rounder, Ladd McConkey, I believe, mid-second rounder.
Well, here's the picks.
Yeah, give them to me.
Here's the picks. Back-to-back. Pearsall, 31 overall.
Uh-huh.
32, I believe, was Xavier Leggett from the Carolina Panthers. And then 33 was Keon Coleman, and then Ladd McConkey.
Okay, so Ladd McConkey, 34, right. 35. Okay.
So Leggett, Coleman, and McConkey go right after Pearsall.
So both the rookie guys that I referenced, Ladd McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr., basically giving you the duality production of what you're getting from Deebo and Brandon Ayuk with way more touchdowns. Pearsall's got 11 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Now, look, the guy was hurt. He got shot. I'm granting him a ton of leniency. But you drafted him with a premium pick, and he's the fourth wide receiver, probably the seventh option on this offense heading into the year. Yeah. I go back to value on these picks and about paying people and money and all this.
But
it's a horrific value.
But you know what, though? I understood that they will probably move off of Deebo after this season.
Yeah, but in year one, it's not great value.
In year one, it's not great value, but I understand bringing the band back together because Deebo and Ayuk were one of the best duos at the wide receiver position last season. They just were. Those are the facts. So I understand why you want to keep Brandon Ayuk here to have a number one wide receiver for Brock Purdy. I understand that. But when you draft Ricky Pearsall, and Ricky Pearsall may be good, but Dave, he can't get a target in Green Bay. I mean, Ricky Pearsall's got two targets in the last two weeks.
Monte, he's got 11 catches.
Two targets in the last 2 weeks after having a big game in Tampa Bay. What is going on with Ricky Pearsall? Is he not getting open? Is it the quarterback not seeing him? Baldy's going to join us in 13 minutes. He was at Lambeau Field. He was at Lambeau. We'll get to Fred Warner, Pearsall, all this stuff. But the value there, and messing around with the Ayuk situation set a bad tone for the season. And then on top of the Ricky Pearsall situation, yes, where he doesn't participate in training camp due to shoulder injuries, and then boom, he gets shot. He gets shot right down the street from where we're doing this show at right now. Brandon Ayuk, obviously, slow start, then tears the knee up against Kansas City. Season's over. Deebo did have a great camp, apparently.
He did. But look where we're at.
Look where we're at. And then you get Trent Williams holding out at left tackle. And I thought, this is where I think it hurts Bosa. Nobody talks about this ever.
What's that?
When you're in training camp and you're going against Jaylon Moore and Colton McKivitz, how much better are you getting as a defensive end?
That's a good point.
When you have Trent Williams there to practice against every single week, it makes you better. So in the past two camps, Bosa hasn't been able to go at Trent Williams in individual drills or 7-on-7s or full team drills, 11-on-11, mood ball drills, whatever you want to name. Not having Trent Williams there this year hurt Bosa. Bosa not being there last year obviously hurt him, even though his mom and everybody else ran a bunch of game on his station talking about, oh, he's going to be just fine. And then midway through the year, we got this dude out here blaming Steve Wilks. But I'm not going there right now. It's about what went wrong this season. And no, those are just, I mean, they couldn't even scrimmage against the Saints this year. They couldn't even scrimmage against the Saints. They had to cancel an inter-squad scrimmage, so you couldn't get a, you couldn't get work there. It's been a disastrous year. And then not to mention McCaffrey, who comes up with the calf injury in training camp. Then you walk around the Jets game before the game, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, McCaffrey's not going to play. And then heard a little whisper, hey, Bonte, it's not really a calf. It's an Achilles. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And then, of course, later that night, hey, it's an Achilles. And the next day, we're talking about Achilles tendons. And then a couple weeks later, we find out it's bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So now you don't have the guy who was the offensive player of the year to cover a Madden who could have won an MVP who fixed all your red zone woes. And so now you've got a lost year from McCaffrey. So everything that could go bad for this team has gone bad. And yet they're a game out of first place.
Well, it's not just that it's gone bad. That's like they're an expensive bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like okay, hey, Hargrave, $16 million in cash this year. You got nothing.
Nothing.
Right? Brandon Ayuk, he's making $24 million in cash this year. You got nothing. Okay? We referenced CMC. $17 million in cash this year. Very little.
No, you got nothing, Chastity.
Okay. You got nothing. All right. You're right.
Let's be fair.
Pearsall, $7 million in cash. Not a lot. Juwan Jennings, $8 million in cash. Maybe the best bang for the buck on the entire roster. But you spent $22 million in cash on Debo. Look at how much you're paying a wide receiver. 22, 7, 8, 24. You're not a passing team.
Yeah.
And I would say passing isn't even close to one of the strengths of this team.
But you know what, though? I think maybe Kyle and John Lynch looked at that Super Bowl saying, if we don't get more explosive on the outside, we don't have a chance to beat these teams deep into the playoffs. Maybe that Super Bowl damaged them psychologically so much that they said, you know what? We need to juice up our passing game here. Our passing game is outdated. Maybe if we get some guys in here, like a Ricky Pearsall, and we continue to build with Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, and you still have Debo, maybe our passing game will be better. I don't know. I'm just
trying to come up with it there.
You know what I'm saying?
But because my other takeaway from from that Super Bowl, that is a good point of view. But if that's the case, then you should have moved off of Debo. And if that's the case, then you should have invested in your offensive line. Because one of my big takeaways from the Super Bowl was not just the wide receiver play, which I think we've obsessed about. It's the offensive line. Yeah. You know, center, right tackle. You know, they did shore up the guard, and they got Pooney. It's just,
and they couldn't run the ball in that Super Bowl anyway. At all. Consistently. So teams knew, in these big games, too, that's the worst part about it. You think about 2021 in the L.A. Rams and what they did with Eric Weddle. They just slammed the box.
They did.
They said, we're going to just take away your run game. And in the Super Bowl, Kansas City did something similar. They just slammed the run game. Slammed the gaps. We're going to play 8-9 in the box. We're going to dare you to throw outside the numbers. And the Niners were unable to do that in the Super Bowl. They've been unable to do that this season.
I keep coming back to, when we talk about the Warriors, the top paid players have to play like it.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the Niners, the top paid players have not played like the top paid players.
No.
Theomino Lenoir has played like that this year. George Kittle has played like that this year. Fred Warner, it's been about a month. He hasn't played like it. And I think he's hurt. I'm granting him that.
He's hurt, and the defensive line's getting pushed back so much that they're getting to the second level and killing Fred Warner.
Highest paid player on the team this year, Trent Williams, not playing like it. Nick Bosa, not playing like it. You know, Leonard Floyd, not playing like it. Charvarius Ward. Look, man, I'm granting that guy a complete pass the whole year. I'm going to just grant him a pass. Like, who am I to tell this man who's going through tragedy to play better? But Javon Hargrave, Brandon Ayuk, none of the top paid players outside of a couple are even closely resembling what their money is this year.
Yep, no doubt. So where do we go from here, Niner fans? Where do we go from here? What is the hardest truth about this season? The hardest truth to swallow is that the season's not over. They could go on a run. Anything's possible, but there's a harsh reality here that the end is coming for this core. Now, which core members stay? I think George Kittle needs to get extended ASAP. Oh,
totally agree.
I have no problem rolling with Fred. But Drake Greenlaw's practice window's open. What do you do? Do you play him to see what he's got left?
He's a unrestricted free agent, too.
Yeah. Don't you want to see what he has out there?
Okay, let's put yourself in his position. Do you think he wants to get back on the field to show himself to other people or
I think he wants to play football. But I bet you his agent is probably thinking, not the worst thing in the world not to play.
It's kind of how I feel.
Not the worst thing in the world not to play. And there will be a market for you somewhere, somehow.
Oh, if I'm the Niners, I'd give him a deal. You know, sight unseen. Sight unseen. And it might be a bad one, but I would, right, just because he means that much to this right team.
So I don't know. We're going to get Baldy on here in 7 minutes, and he was at Lambeau Field. That was the third worst loss under Kyle Shanahan. The third worst loss under Kyle Shanahan. So, you know, question for the 415, yeah, what are you going to do with Brock Purdy?
This is why.
I think everything's on the table.
Let me give you a name that we're going to be discussing for the next 7 months.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
Sam Darnold?
I think this is the biggest offseason ever for Parag Marate. Mm. The amount of financial flexibility and stuff that they're going to have to do, the gymnastics to figure out the cap and to squeeze all of this, whether it's dead money, not dead money, extending, not extending, guaranteeing money, restructuring, trades, cuts. I think this is the biggest offseason for Parag. If they want to be back in the mix next year, and I'm not dismissing this year, but
it's for Parag and John Lynch.
No,
right?
I know, but your money man better be on his game.
But no, the money man has been on his game. I think the money man has been fine. I don't have no problem with the money man, Jed or Parag. The money man, if they're fine, they massage the cap left and right. John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, this is on him. On him.
I mean, you got Charvarius free agent, Greenlaw free agent, Banks free agent.
It's Shanahan being the offensive innovator that he is, or that he's held to be, mm-hmm, right? And it's on John Lynch to show that, hey, we don't need Adam Peters around here. We don't need Rand Carthon around here.
That's a good point.
How do you retool the roster? How? How do you retool it? How do you get assets? How do you retool it? Because there obviously needs to be a retooling here. I don't think you need to rebuild and overhaul a roster.
No, it's a retool.
You've got to get better in the trenches. You've got to get – that's the one thing. Baldy said slow earlier this season.
They
and
are.
And it just looks slow. I got to get some – you watch Jahmyr Gibbs run. You watch Jameson Williams run in Detroit. You watch CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. You watch Terry McLaurin in Washington. You watch the way Puka Nacua runs routes. You watch these Seattle – Jaxon Smith-Njigba is ascending, and he's having a coming-out party. The Niners look slow with their skill position sets. It's embarrassing almost. It's almost embarrassing.
And then at running back, it's hard to not see two primetime games from Saquon and Derrick Henry and ask yourself, does CMC have another year like that?
Like
a bounce back year. Like, both those guys look so good, right?
So explosive.
So can CMC get back to that? I don't know.
I don't know. All right. What's coming up in the game brought to you by the all-new Honda of Vallejo?
I don't know!
All your aggregators, the Coach Yaks, I love you. Chase Senior? All you aggregators. Baldy's coming up. Get your computers ready. Get the Twitter fingers ready. Baldy's coming up here on the Morning Roast.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
All right, Turtle Pie. Good morning, everybody out there here on a Tuesday morning. What is this? Is this Creed?
Are you kidding me?
Who is this? This is a good song. Who is this?
Kurt Cobain? Do you know? No.
Kurt Cobain, lead singer.
Lead singer.
For?
Seattle-based band.
Oh, Nirvana.
There you go.
Good job.
Crunch rock. Yeah, Nirvana. Let's go.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good song.
It smells like Teen Spirit. It's like, honestly, if you know their catalog, it's a great song. I'm not denying it, but they've got so many hits. It's hard to...
Most famous, probably. Yeah, absolutely. Tied with the music video.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's get to our main man here.
Lake of Fire is the one for me.
You had to push him an hour, man. He's looking dapper in a blazer. He looks like he's all business.
Baldy!
Out there at Jets. Where's Jets camp at? They're at Florham Park, I believe. I could be wrong there. I'll get the details from Baldy. But you know what? Go ahead and hit it. Shark Week here on the Roast. Oh, wait. No. Not yet.
We're stalling out.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Well, I'm not sure how many sharks are on this defensive line right now. They're not getting to the quarterback, and they're not eating right now. As we bring in Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and also presented by our prior partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Baldy, what's happening, my man? Good morning to you. Oh.
He just dropped.
Oh, he just dropped?
Yeah, okay, we're efforting him.
All right, we'll get him. All right, we'll get him.
He looks like he's ready to run through the Zoom and tackle us.
He's at Jets camp. And you know people are probably miserable at Jets, at the Jets practice facility. Man. Man, oh, man, the Jets. What a mess they are.
Here we go. Now we got Baldy.
Baldy, where's Jets practice facility? What are they called? Florham Park?
Florham Park. Yep. Right in the Garden State. Right off the Garden State Parkway here,
man.
24 West.
Man, probably not a lot of happy faces up in there. Not a lot of smiles going on inside of Jewel Floor Park. But you know what? Probably not a lot of happy faces in Santa Clara right now. You're alive at Lambeau Field covering the Packers and the Niners for Westwood One Sports. You're on the call. I saw you before the game talking to everybody out there. And the third worst loss under Kyle Shanahan since he's been head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And I want to start here, Baldy, with the softness of the defense. 20 missed tackles. And I'll start with number 54, Fred Warner. He's an all-time linebacker. But is that the worst game you've seen Fred Warner play? Because I haven't seen an it play for Fred in quite some time, Baldy.
It's been a while. He's pretty invisible right now. I mean, no splash plays like he was making earlier in the season. The forced fumbles, getting his hands on the balls, scooping. Like all those things, we haven't seen it in weeks now. And it starts up front. I mean, I don't think he really trusts the defensive tackles. They're way down. In fact, Ponte, I went back and I don't know why I did it, but I did it. I went back and watched the playoff game from a year ago when the 49ers came back to win the game. And you know, with Bosa out and with Hargrave out and Givens out, they're top, you know, and with, Kinlaw playing here with the Jets, their top six defensive linemen from that playoff game aren't on the roster, weren't on the field. So, you know, we were talking about guys that are backup players at best, and it's all changed. And so Fred is not getting the protection that any middle linebacker needs. I just did a podcast with Bart Scott. And, you know, Ray Lewis's career got rejuvenated when they drafted Haloti Ngata.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Ray Lewis, like, he had a couple down years. If you look, Haloti Ngata gets drafted. He's got protection. He's able to run free. He's able to get protected. And I think it kind of starts there. Because I don't think Fred Warner's eye for where the ball is going or how to read a play or all the things he can diagnose, I don't think any of that has changed.
Yeah, I'm glad you started with the trenches because I think both sides were just bad. They were just bad. There were no holes in the run game. And I'd love to hear your opinion of CMC in a second. But like Dominic Pooney clearly having one of his worst games as an NFL player, which is to be expected. He's a rookie, you know. Banks didn't look himself. Brendel just got worked in this game. And then not having Trent Williams, it looks like they need a complete revamping on both sides of the line, Baldy.
So I was in this broadcast booth, and next to me were the 49ers. You know, John Lynch is there, and Trent's sitting up there. Trent's up there, and I'm going, man, it's going to be a long day without Trent. You know, I mean, you look at the record with or without him, it's a long day. It just has been. But, you know, Dominic Pooney, I haven't seen him ever get multiple penalties in a game. And I think he had three. Like, it was so unlike anything we've seen from him. And I can't say it was the crowd or Lambeau Field or any of that. There's just way too many penalties. The penalties in special teams killed them, whether you agree with the penalty or not, especially on Debo's long kickoff return to start the third quarter. I thought that's the spark they needed, and it all comes back. And, you know, look at one statistic in this game, Joe. Because of the takeaways by the Green Bay Packers, their starting field position was the 45-yard line.
Wow.
And the 49ers' starting field position was the 25. I mean, you're starting 20 yards behind the Packers on every possession right there. With the quarterback that hadn't played, you know, meaningful football in 3 years, that puts you behind the eight ball to start with right there.
No doubt. I mean, starting at the 45-yard line, Baldy, you need 25 yards in a field goal range. That's nothing. And with the way Josh Jacobs was running, 20 missed tackles by this Niners defense. Your point is well taken about the defensive line. I'm with you there, not getting off of blocks and the offensive lineman getting to the second level and getting to Fred Warner here. But offensively, They scored 10 points, and I thought they moved the ball well at times. They didn't get a first down until midway through the second quarter. Deebo Samuel. And we'll get to Pearsall, CMC. We got a lot of questions for Baldy. But Deebo, does he have the juice? Is he running good routes? One touch, 21 yards on a creative screenplay, which is fancy. It was dazzling, but that's what it took to get Deebo the ball. What are you seeing from Deebo Samuel over the last couple of weeks here, Baldy?
I mean, he's becoming more and more a gadget player than a receiver. And, you know, whether it's running him on a reverse or out of the backfield, that's where you kind of see his value. But if you're saying, okay, go beat Eric Stokes, you know, go beat Keyshawn Nixon, you know, in press man coverage, you don't see it. I mean, the quarterback can't wait that long. And then you're saying, okay, well, where's the man beaters? Green Bay wants to play a lot of man. For a while in that game, they did. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, like the 49ers want to attack the middle of the field, and that's what the Packers are trying to take away. And that's why Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard and Evan Williams are all there. They want a great safety play, and that's what they got in that game. But guys aren't separated. And I said weeks ago that they look like a slow team, and that's how they look. That's how they play. You don't see speed from this group right now.
Well, okay, so let's...
I can't get that over my head. Baldy's been calling them slow all year. I can't... When I watch them, I see slowness. It's crazy.
But I mean, like, I look at their production, and, like, Ayuk got hurt, but Ayuk and Deebo combined are producing what Ladd McConkey's producing, and he's getting more touchdowns, you know, as a rookie. And then I look at Pearsall, and I'm saying to myself, like, even if everyone was healthy, he was going to be fourth on the depth chart. It wasn't a great value pick if you were going to keep those guys and pay them and all that. Like, what are you seeing from Pearsall right now? Because I don't know. I'm not trying to crush the guy. He missed a ton of time because he got shot, right? And I'm trying to be as fair as possible, but he can't even get a target in this game? Well, what's going on?
I don't even know if he was out there on the field that much. I should check how many plays he actually played. I talked to him before the game, and he told me, like, you know, I said, hey, you know, I enjoyed you coming out of college and pre-draft. You know, we just catching up. And, you know, I said, you know, because I did that game where he scored his first touchdown against, I guess it was against Tampa, but he said, that's my specialty, beat man coverage. But I don't know if the offense allows him to even go run routes where he can go win against, you know, some, you know, I mean, you know, Jair Alexander is an outside. They don't have the best corners on the field. Keyshawn Nixon's a slot corner playing outside. Like, I thought they could take advantage of some of the situations they had. Eric Stokes was in and out of the lineup. But I didn't see them going after Carrington Valentine. I didn't see them going after any of these corners that are the third and fourth corner in Green Bay right now.
Wow, Pearsall had 33 snaps on Sunday, played 33 snaps, not one target, Baldy. First-round pick.
Yep.
And we're going to look at these first-round picks real quick. I'll let you jump in here. But Pearsall, I think it was Leggett, Keon Coleman, and then Ladd McConkey. Four straight wide receivers went in the draft. Buffalo's using Keon Coleman when he's on the field. Leggett's starting to come on in Arizona, and we saw what Ladd McConkey's – we see what he's doing with Harbaugh and Herbert in L.A., it's not one target, Baldy. It's just mind-boggling. 33 snaps, not one target for your first-round pick.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, what are they thinking about in the passing game right now? I don't know what it is. I mean, honestly, I feel like for the first time, and maybe it's Brandon Allen out there, and all the players, you know, I mean, he threw the ball pretty well when he had a chance to throw it. I mean, Deebo's got to catch that ball.
Yep.
I mean, go through Deebo's hands. You know, I mean, Xavier McKinney's a willing, you know, recipient. That's, by the way, what, you know, what safeties are supposed to do, take the ball away. But he gave a gift. I mean, it's a slant route. It's third down. You got to catch it. It goes through his hands. His hands were late. You can say, you know, I mean, it seems like the guy's hands were late with Brandon a lot. Now, I don't know if the ball comes out differently, all those kind of things with a new quarterback. But, I mean, you got to catch that ball. Like, these gloves right now, like, everybody should be able to catch a ball with these gloves. Yeah. I mean, it's literally – like, it's professional. Stick them on these gloves. They should never drop the ball right now.
It's funny that you say that Brandon Allen played well. I thought he did, too. I watched it back a couple times. And, yeah, he fumbled in the pocket, right? But I didn't think he had a lot of time and space to climb in the pocket all day. But I thought he made a couple of nice throws. And, look, I think Brock's got better instincts and throws with anticipation a lot better because you could tell he's more rhythmic. But in terms of stretching the field, I thought his arm was live and active, and I thought they hit spots on the field that they don't normally hit. What'd you see from Brandon Allen, and would you...
I saw those first two series where they just couldn't get started. You know, you gain 9 yards on a Deebo run, you can't get a first down. You know, second one, like, penalties hurt them. You know, but execution is the name of the game, and they didn't do that. But once you got through that, you got that drive before the half to get in the end zone, that was a good drive that he put together. And, you know, if you catch the ball and protect a little bit better, you know, 2 for 200 yards, he threw for a decent percentage. Like, I thought he saw the field well. The ball came out well. Like, I was actually surprised at how comfortable he looked, considering how little he has played.
CMC. He had the one big play, and he fumbled on it. But in the run game, we saw Jordan Mason with just two carries, and wow, looked explosive. It's like, wow, look at that. Yeah, I watched Jahmyr Gibbs in the morning, man. Hey, wow, explosion. Wow, look how quick he looks. CMC, Baldy, he's just not right. Where do you see him from CMC right now? He just looks like another guy right now. And it's unfortunate to see coming off of last season, but he's just not right, Baldy. Are our eyes lying to us? Are you seeing the same thing?
I talked to him before the game, and I put down in one of my – because he had the week before, he had 8 of his runs went for 2 yards or less. So on one of the runs, I said, you know, he's right in the hole, and there's a big gap to the right the week before. You know, they were playing in that game. So yep. I said, that's – to me, his legs could feel great. The Achilles tendonitis can be healed, but his eyes didn't look right to me. And he said to me, he goes, you know, I mean, he kind of timed, like, I wasn't really looking to, you know, pick his brain about that, but he brought it up to me. Like he watched it, which just surprised me. But not only did he watch the video, but he said, you're right. I missed that hole. And I go, was it are your eyes late right now? Christian goes, no, I got fooled. But I'm thinking that guy was full speed the way we've seen Jordan Mason 2 weeks in a row hit full speed dives right up the middle, where he's seen it in real time at full speed. And I don't know that Christian's eyes are right. And I think you can – a running back should be able to just play in any system. They should be able to see the daylight. But I've always said great running backs make yards when there's nothing there. And that's what Christian did all year last year. And he pushed the pile, and he saw the softness, he saw the daylight. I don't think he's seen the daylight well enough. And I don't know if he's trusting it, because the week before they didn't block well without Kittle. But now this is 43 carries into the season, and he's averaging 3.5 yards a carry. And there are no explosive runs, you know? And so, to me, I just wonder if all that time off, and you can go train and walk through things at practice, but all that time off, are his eyes right now? Because the great backs, they don't miss holes. They don't miss them. They just know exactly, it could be 6 inches of daylight, but they know where it is. And I just think right now he's still struggling to find that.
Two questions on CMC. Is it more mental than physical, you think, at this point, if you had to guess?
I don't know. Like, I think he might, like, just by what he said to me, and I don't want to one little conversation into a big deal. I don't want to do that. But I'm wondering if he's questioning himself. If there's, like, you could say confidence, but, you know, if you're, like you've seen, like he was the best running back in football last year. He averaged 5.4 yards a carry. Like, it was stellar. Now, you can say, okay, Kittle's out last week, Trent's out this week, all that stuff. But you can't just put it on a player. Like I understand they gotta do their job up front. But I see backs all the time, including Josh Jacobs on Sunday, find yards that don't look like they're there. And you just don't see the explosion through the hole right now that we're used to seeing. We just don't – he looked different than every other back last year, the whole year. And he just doesn't look like that to me right now. And the stats say it. Like, there's so many 2 yard or less runs from him. And you don't see what you saw from Mason last week or the week before when he had an 8 yard pop right up the middle. And he saw it immediately. And just exactly where – as soon as he got the ball, he knew where to go. Like, there's a hesitancy right now. And if you hesitate that position, you're just you're a pedestrian back.
So, okay, I'm watching Saquon on Sunday Night Football, and he looks completely rejuvenated for a variety of reasons. The offense, the offensive line, his legs just look so fresh. He's breaking away on guys week 12, week 13 in the league. I'm watching Derrick Henry, new team. He looks incredible, obviously, with Lamar Jackson and with the – are we ever going to get like a rejuvenation season from CMC, or is this who he is? I mean, I'm really worried about the guy. Like, to your point, he was the best player in the whole league last year.
I'm worried too, because it's three straight weeks in a row. And you can't, and it's not about really the defenses, Tampa, Green Bay. It's about him. It's three straight weeks. It's 43 touches. It's more. I mean, he'd get more touches if they could stay on the field and convert some third downs and balance things up a little bit. He could be even getting more than 43 in three games. But we've seen a pretty good sample. Like, I'm watching all these backs. Tony Pollard is at 800 yards rushing in 11 games, you know, behind, you know, on a three-win team. You look at what Josh Jacobs just did. Like, he looked stellar. I'm going to see Aaron Jones this weekend. I'm looking at the running backs in this league right now. I mean, Saquon's at the top of the leaderboard, but, I mean, these guys are, and you're going to see, you know, you're going to see, you know, in a couple, like, even this coming week, you're going to see a really good back, you know? And so, I don't know, the eye test says something's not right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to get flipped this season right now.
No, you're spot on with that. We're seeing it. We're all seeing it here. McCaffrey, just a bilateral Achilles tendonitis. What can you expect here? And you're right. James Cook and Ray Davis are no joke in Buffalo. Chandler coming out the backfield on third downs. I've always loved James Cook, man. James Cook's a hell of a player coming out of Georgia. We're talking to Brian Baldinger. You're here on the River Island Guest Line. Had to do it at 8:30 today. He's got business to handle. Just recorded a podcast with Bart Scott. You like that? Can't wait. Can't wait with Bart Scott, man. That must have been a fun one here. Baldy, moving here. Moving forward. Brock Purdy, the shoulder. When you're on the field, you're talking to people, are the Niners concerned about this long-term, or do they think he'll be back this Sunday against Buffalo?
They can't identify when the injury occurred. Like, they seem to be confused about just when it happened, you know? And so, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Is it a tired arm? Is it an injury? Is it, is it the clavicle? Is it the, you know, I mean, nobody seems to know. I mean, I understand trying to keep, you know, things a secret and all that. I get all that. But, I mean, he's standing on the sideline. You think maybe he'd be just having a little ball toss. He was there all game. He was, next to Brandon all game. You'd think, like, there'd just be some itch game day just to even throw a ball. He didn't see anything. It's like he's completely shut down. And so, yeah, he didn't have the strongest arm to begin with. So anything that's going to affect his throwing or his strength of throws, like, you got to believe that it's more serious than what anybody is saying right now. And even if he does come back, what are you getting when he comes back?
Well, even when he does play, what's his, you know, because a lot of arguments made, and Brendan Allen, I'm with both you and Chasky about Brendan Allen. I didn't think he played that bad at all, considering he hadn't played in 3 years. The guy has some zip on his footballs. He throws an out route with no effort at all. What about Brock Purdy? You mentioned he doesn't have the strongest arm, and I've heard from the Jay Grudens, the Patrick Petersons. We've talked about it. Jerry Rice has talked about it. The Niners' inability to want to throw outside the numbers. They want to go to the middle of the field between the numbers where it's all congested, but not utilizing outside the numbers. Is Brock Purdy capable of throwing outside the numbers at a consistent basis or on a consistent level, or does Kyle just simply doesn't want him to do that consistently?
Good question, because, you know, we saw the guy on the other side, Jordan Love. He can make that throw, those snap throws, you know, with ease. So there's a difference in talent, for sure. Mm. But I don't think that's the reason. I mean, I just think this is the design. This is where, you know, the defenses are trying to take the middle of the field away. That's what, you know, that's the most valuable real estate in football, and you hit those crossing routes, and you see where it goes. I mean, Brock Purdy is still averaging over 8.5 yards an attempt. I mean, still at the very top of the leaderboard. They're still getting some chunks, even though, you know, it's not producing a ton of points. They're still hitting their fair share when he's in there right now. Just a question of, you know, how soon can he return? Can he go to Buffalo this weekend? Because, you know, Buffalo is going to play his own defense. They're not going to let you get the ball over the top. You better hit those underneath throws and those layered throws over the linebackers in front of their safeties. Because the safeties are going to play 15 to 20 yards deep. You're going to have to hit those layered throws with touch if you're going to move the ball in the air against this team.
What about in that stadium, in that weather, in that city? snow's in the forecast, Baldy. And we see you hear about quarterbacks. Boy, Buffalo always wants a strong arm quarterback because you need to throw in that stadium, and it's tough with all the wind swirling and whatnot. How's that going to limit Brock Purdy, or how's that going to affect Brock Purdy if he does play on Sunday in that stadium back at, what do they call it, Landmark Stadium now or whatnot?
Yeah, Landmark. I don't know, because I don't know how bad that shoulder is, Monte. I mean, these are all good questions, but I don't really know. I mean, it kind of came late last week. Like, we didn't really know, like, how bad. We thought maybe it was just a rest day on Wednesday, whatever, you know, after the loss to Tampa. Like, I just thought, or the loss to Seattle. Like, I didn't think there was any reason to think that he was injured in that game. I know diving for you know, the touchdown, all that kind of stuff, maybe that's where he got hurt, the speculation. But I didn't see anything in that game that said he's going to be questionable going into this weekend's game against Green Bay. But look, the weather was fine in Green Bay. It was mid-40s. The wind wasn't bad. The grass was perfect. I doubt you're going to get those conditions in Buffalo on Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really worried about this Brock Purdy thing. We were kind of talking, I'm like, dude, it's his moneymaker, man. It's his arm, you know? And I know he doesn't have the greatest arm, but elbow, reconstructive surgery, and now the shoulder, like, that's a bad combination. But getting off of Brock for a second, like, Baldy, I've been watching the Niners my whole life, okay?
Yeah.
I have never, and I've watched some bad Niner teams, believe me, some bad teams. Never in my life have I seen 12 men on the field penalty called in consecutive plays. How does that happen? I listened to Shanahan's explanation about late substitutions from Green Bay. I don't know. For the life of me, I don't understand how that happens. My jaw dropped.
I thought that was the most animated and irate I've ever seen Kyle on a sideline in my life. On one of those. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, Joe. But that's the most animated. Like, he knew that falls on him. It falls on him in the communication, you know, between Nick and whatnot. But not for anybody to know that there's 12 men on the field. Nobody even seemed to know that there was 12. Like, you know, where's Fred in this situation? I mean, you got to have awareness. I didn't see anybody have any awareness to call the timeout, you know, to stop the penalty from even happening. Like, there seemed to be no awareness. And those are the things that show up, Joe. And I don't want to make this into a bigger thing, but those are things that show up that bad teams do. I mean, the Jets facility. I see it every week. You know, I watch their games the way I watch your games. And I saw it all year long, you know, whether it's pre-snap penalties, you know, too many men on the field, the things that you just don't see good teams do. And for that to happen twice, you're wondering about the communication level, the preparation, are they all tuned in? Like, all those speculations are fair game when you see things like that happening in the game.
Baldy, I almost lost my mind, because in the first half alone, they had, I don't know, 4 pre-snap penalties, 15 missed tackles, literally 15 missed tackles, and 3 consecutive special teams penalties. And I'm like, and the 12-man thing. And I'm saying to myself, and then obviously the Debo run or whatever on the kickback, and I'm just like, whose fault is this? Is this just the players? Like, and I know the players are highly paid, and we went through all that, but like, who does that fall down on, Baldy?
Well, the special teams are a mess. I mean, that 2 kickoff or 3 kickoff returns to the penalty. And to have, you know, whatever it was for Debo, 80-yard return, whatever that was. Like, that was a questionable call. I mean, I thought Saubert was good. Okay. I had a real problem with that one. But Odom, like, it's a flagrant pushing it back. Like, does anybody think that's okay? Like, those penalties kill you. They kill your field position, any momentum. They're just making mistakes that you go, okay, can they turn this thing around? I don't know if they can, because these mistakes on special teams mm-hmm. show up every week. And now the penalties that they were charged with, that those are killers, especially on the road, especially when you're -3 in the turnover game. And I said to Brandon Staley before the game, I talked to 49er coaches, I said, here's what's going to happen today, guys. Jordan Love's going to throw you up too. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to get those or not?
They dropped him.
He had one in the end zone. And, of course, there's an offside penalty, you know, so it comes back. And then I don't know if it was Lenore or whoever.
And Renardo Green both dropped interceptions right in their hands.
Renardo Green dropped one, and it was a classic Jordan Love. Like, late, you know, being chased a little bit, and he threw it up for grabs. And they had their chances. There was 2 of them. And, you know, they're not taking the ball away at all right now. And so it's, you know, they're not forcing fumbles. You can't really, so, you know, if you're going to go -3 on the road with a backup quarterback, like that's, you're making it awfully, and then all the penalties, 100 yards of penalties, you're making it awfully hard on yourself. But those are exactly what bad teams do.
Yep.
And why you're underwater right now. You could say, and this is a speech, okay, you're a game out of first place, which is true. But Seattle right now looks like they're playing a whole lot better with that win last week. I mean, they completely annihilated Arizona. They look actually look like
right.
They're playing the defense Mike McDonald wants them to play. So, I mean, the only thing I can say, I heard this from the 49ers on the field Sunday. Well, you know, if you can go on the road and beat a good team, it can turn your season around. All right. Well, you got to play mistake-free football, and that's in question whether they can do that right now.
And now they have Buffalo. And now they have Buffalo with Josh Allen, Superman, James Cook, that spread offense, and that opportunistic defense, and those elements coming off a bye week. How do the Niners pull off the upset? How, boy? Is it just completely playing mistake-free football? Because it feels like they need a little more. They need Debo, the rediscovered Debo with the explosion from a season ago. They need Ricky Pearce. I don't know how they get this done, Baldy. I'm just worried that by halftime on a Sunday night, people are going to be turning off their television sets looking for something to do.
Well, 10 points isn't going to get the job done. So, you know, the offense has to click. You know, they haven't scored, you know, 30 in a long while since they scored 30 against the Patriots. That used to be the standard for this 49er team. Put up 30. You know, that's how they played football. And so the defense playing with the lead, and Nick could turn it loose. I don't know what Nick Bosa's status is this week. He didn't make the trip last week. So, you know, he's still getting treatment and trying to, you know, recover. And I don't know. I saw him hop off the field on one leg. I don't know if oblique, hip, whatever it is, but I saw him hopping off the field. You made it seem like it was a lot worse than maybe they let on to be. But, look, I mean, you can't wait on your star players to get out there. I'm sure Trent will go this week. That always helps. But look, this 49ers offense is fueled by the run game. They've got to crank this up. It has not looked good in a month. So that would be a good starting point. And then, look, I mean, Buffalo is one of those teams right now that is running the ball more than they're throwing it. They're a run-first team. So, you know, there's ways to stop the run, and Josh Allen's a big part of that, especially on short yard situations and his ability to extend plays. Like, you better look fast out there and play fast against Josh Allen. And he's going to give you an opportunity, like Jordan Love will. He's going to give you an opportunity because he's just going to try and make some hero-type plays that he's capable of doing, but he's still going to do it. And so can you take two away in this game? That'd be a good starting point. Run the ball for 150 and take two away, that gives you a fighting chance to go up, you know, take on a 9-2 Bills team that looks really good.
All right, before we let you go, you're going to be in Minnesota this week, huh, for Arizona and the Vikings. Vikings almost blew that game. It was a wild ending there. Almost blew a 10-point lead in the last, 70 seconds of that football game, but they were able to survive. They go on a long drive in overtime and win that football game. Arizona goes to Seattle. Seattle shuts them down. They lose 60-6. It's a hell of a football game here, and the Niners could use some help, no doubt about that, from the Minnesota Vikings, Baldy.
No doubt. And this is a tough stretch for Arizona. They get a couple, you know, winnable games at home after this, but this is their stretch, you know, and they knew it, and they went to Seattle, and it was awful, just awful. I mean, they couldn't run. They had been able to run the ball effectively almost every single week. And Leonard Williams and Jerron Reed and Big Hank up front, like they just shut that down. And they got the takeaway from Kyler. You know, Devin Witherspoon made a great play. And they got the Kobe Bryant, you know, interception return for a touchdown, which blew that game open. I mean, Seattle scored one touchdown in that game. And so, you know, Arizona's still a good football team. They still played really well defensively. Yeah. But offensively, for the first time, they got completely shut down by Seattle.
Baldy, happy Thanksgiving on behalf of everybody here in the Bay Area. We love you so much. We look forward to you every single week. One's got to go. You're looking at an entire table filled with food, and I know you love so many different kinds of food. What's the one thing that has to get off the table for Brian Baldinger? You don't want to see it. It can be gravy, cranberry, stuffing, ham. What
salad.
What's the one's got to go for Baldy?
Well, I mean, I'm going to eat all the pumpkin pie that's there. I might start with pumpkin pie. It's my favorite dessert. It's my favorite meal of the year. It's my favorite holiday of the year.
Me too.
So, I mean, it's just, you can give me all the turkey and all the gravy that you could possibly cut and carve. Like seconds and thirds to the couch. I got to work on Thanksgiving, so I'm going to eat late. I got to break down these first two bad games of the day. But, you know, when I do get to the house, I'm gonna put a hurting on that turkey. That's for sure.
So you had it to be at? Are you at NFL Films on Thanksgiving? Breaking down the cage?
No, I'm gonna be down in Florida, so I'm gonna do it, you know, from a studio there. But I gotta analyze that first game. You know, Dallas and the Giants.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, let me ask you: is Daniel Jones worth acquiring if you're the 49ers?
Please say no, Baldy.
Like, I'm not high on him. I don't think highly of him. He's actually a worse version of what Alex Smith was with the Niners way back when. Can run a little, but he's not accurate. Like, is he worth acquiring as a backup?
Well, I mean, they did it to Sam Darnold, and Sam really found out what stability looks like and what a well-coached offense looks like. And watching Brock, I think that really helped him launch what he's doing in Minnesota this year. In fact, I'm going to ask him about it on Sunday down the field when I see him. But, Daniel Jones has never had stability, never had a good offensive line, never was able to be with a stable group. Like, if Daniel Jones found stability and really understood what game planning, practice, the emphasis on the details was all about, I think it could help him because he is a very good athlete. But, I mean, his accuracy issues and his inability to process, to see the field, I don't know that that's going to be improved much.
Yeah, I'm hard pass on that one there. Baldy, happy Thanksgiving to you. At least you get the Lions in the morning,
love
Baldy.
It,
at least you get to see Dan Campbell against the Bears. Maybe they'll win a Thanksgiving game for once. They haven't won one in years.
I think that Miami-Green Bay game is going to be great.
I think that's
Miami's
a good game.
Miami's played 1-3 in a row. They're playing really good. Green Bay's got a nice record. They're going to be at home. Like, that's going to be the test if Miami can actually get into this playoff hunt or not.
I know Green Bay put up 38 points. Baldy, I know Green Bay put up 38 points and they ran the ball for over 40 times, but I wasn't as impressed with them. That game was in the balance midway through the third quarter. Jordan Love leaves a lot on the table. Christian Watson can't catch. I'm not that impressed with Green Bay right now, Baldy.
I'm with you. Look, that was the first game, by the way, that Jordan Love has not thrown an interception in a game this year. So, and you guys dropped two of them. So, like, he's still going to, I'm sure, if, you know, you're looking at, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Javon Hall and some of those guys, like, they've seen the reel of these interceptions. And they're going to be without Romeo Doubs. Like, and like, the run defense of Miami is real.
Yeah.
Like, they're very good inside, as good as there is in this league. So they're going to get challenged for sure.
I can't wait for this game. Baldy, happy Thanksgiving to your brother. Enjoy all the food.
By the way, maybe the 49ers are missing Mike McDaniel. I'm just saying.
Don't do that to us on the way out, Baldy. Don't do that to us on the way out. I thought you were going to say Solomon.
That on the record.
We got it on
You're
the record,
sharp,
man.
Baldy. Have
looking
a great
good,
one.
Baldy.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you, man.
All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving, Baldy.